kind of perfect for today's topic, wasn't it? Okay. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part. But then, I just washed my fingers and I had a hard time typing, apparently. Now we see through a glass darkly, and now I know in part. But then shall I know even as I am known, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity, which also means love. The greatest of these is love. So the glass that Paul is referring to here is actually a mirror. And he was talking to the folks in Corinth, known as the Corinthians. Now you know why those books in the Bible are called 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And so in Corinth was where they actually manufactured these brass mirrors. So they understood what he's talking about. Like Jesus often spoke in parables to the farmers. You're sowing and reaping, teaching how our minds work, how our intentions are expressed through the law of mind, like sowing and reaping, and seeds become plants and flowers and so forth. Here he's speaking to the Corinthians, who understood about mirrors, and he also knew that you don't always see real well in a brass mirror, but it's best they had right then. And in fact, they had with every one of these mirrors, they needed to be polished a lot in order to have the reflection more accurate. And so a sponge and a pounded pumice stone were always attached to the mirror. Maybe if we put those attached to our mirrors, we could see more clearly in them too. I don't know. There's a metaphor there. I haven't come up with it yet. So, you know, compared to our modern day mirrors, when they looked in these brass mirrors, they saw not a very clear image. They saw it darkly. They saw it in part. They saw what they thought they saw. But there was more to it than that. And so in the original Greek, Paul was saying, and I'm going to say it in English, in a riddle or enigma, that the revelation appears indistinctly, imperfectly. Have you ever sort of been wondering what the answer to the question was that keeps going on in your head? It's not clear yet. We're trying sometimes too hard to figure things out I of myself, as if we can do it because we are capable and competent and we got high scores on whatever the tests were. And that's wonderful. And we should celebrate our great intellects. More than that, we should celebrate how smart we are to surrender it to something greater, to allow that divine energy and infinite wisdom to come pouring through us in such a way that we are recognizing our oneness. And Paul, in saying that the state of our knowledge of the divine is only in part, and that until we meet the beloved that is within us, we won't see ourselves correctly. We go around believing that we're merely human. It's time for us to awaken, to open our eyes to the truth. Because that merely humanness keeps us from seeing the divinity within us, whether we call it the Buddha, the Atman, the Christ consciousness. It's within, expressing through each and every one of us. So it's a matter of waking up to it. They're shining a light on the ceiling up there. We have a new month of February. And so the Centers for Spiritual Living all over the world many of us are using that same theme throughout the year. And February's theme is self-awareness is not enough. I agree. And yet, don't we have to become self-aware first before we can share that with anyone else, which is why I chose this topic, Open My Eyes. When I was growing up in the Redondo Beach Church of Religious Science, which it was called at that time, after the morning meditation, we would sing a song called Open My Eyes. It was really sweet, and it was a wonderful way to come very peacefully out of that meditative experience. And it was simply, open my eyes that I may see. Anybody know it? Glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open, big finish, girls. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine. Actually, we would sing that before going into meditation. And when we came out of the meditation, we would sing, open my eyes are open. Now I see fullness of truth thou hast for me. Here in my hands the wonderful key opens my eyes and sets me free. Joyously now I am with thee. And it was a big party. So I've never forgotten that. I mean, we've sung it since I was 10 years old. That was a little while ago. Isn't it wonderful how these wonderful songs stay with us? The songs stay. The melody stays. The words stay. It's amazing. So I want my eyes to be open, just as the lovely song that Elise sang for us. The eyes open, the ears open. You know, it was Meister Eckhart who said, if you pray only one prayer your entire life, let it be thank you. I think this is another one. Open my eyes. All the time. Open. It's an invocation. You know, we don't beg and beseech. We don't have a God up there somewhere. God's within and all around us, and God is the very life of us, right? There's only one life. We're made out of it. Hello? It's time we got into the awareness, the deep, deep, clear, loving, fabulous, joyful awareness that there is God and nothing else. And that's true of each and every one of us. No matter how somebody might be behaving, have you noticed that sometimes people behave badly out there in the world? Never happens here. Never happens in your family, in my family. Well, maybe once in a while. But that's not the reality of us. It isn't the true nature of each being because we're all created out of the one life. How can we possibly not know that? How can we be forgetting? We have much too good a forgettery, I think. And we have this spiritual amnesia that takes place. And sometimes a wonderful way to go into meditation is simply to ask the question, who am I? And then to be quiet and listen. And after a while, ask again, who am I? And just sit and listen. Open the ear of your heart, the eye of your heart. And you're going to find out the most wonderful things. You'll even find out some of those if you ever come to a noon meditation. Any noon meditators here? Pretty cool, huh? And so we love meditating on our own and we love meditating in groups. But that question is a wonderful thing. So then that was from 1 Corinthians that we read. And now from 2 Corinthians, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Now we teach two things, we teach a lot of things, but two basic things, Spirit and law. Court the presence. Come into the unity, into the power of the presence of love that is the impelling force of this universe that is God itself expressing in, through, and as us. And then speak our word of clear intention and the law provides it for us. It's the way it works. Paul was trying to explain that to people. Jesus certainly was trying to explain that to people. If we would just follow these simple, basic teachings of the avatars, the masters of all time, it wouldn't be so complicated. And if you get to the heart, as you know, of all these faith traditions, what do we find at the heart of it? Unity, oneness, one God, one presence, one divine something. Who cares what we call it? God is a very important name for me, but it isn't for everybody. There are some folks who don't want to say the name out loud because you can't define something so infinite. And when you try to use an adjective, it makes it only partial. You know, it's like the blind man with the elephant. Oh, I know what an elephant looks like. It's like a rope. That was the guy with the tail, right? So we're still looking through the glass darkly. We still have our finite perceptions of something that is absolutely infinite. And don't we just love being surprised at what we discover all the time by keeping our minds and our hearts and our eyes open? Open. Like yesterday, Reverend Mike and I are experiencing this amazing, the revolutionary Lenny. It was Leonard Bernstein's beautiful, fabulous, exciting, excuse me, but I'm going to throw everybody off kind of music that he was coming up with. And it was precision, and it was beauty, and it was joy, and 170 voices up there in the course, including our own Jeff and Emily. And then all of a sudden, Jeff's seat was empty. I thought, where is he gone? And all of a sudden, he and what, 8 or 9 other guys came marching out onto the stage and they're doing the conga. Our Jeff performing at the Kimmel Center, you know. Let's be open and receptive to life's fabulous surprises. Will you dance for us later? Only for people wearing green. So when we become aware of this amazing power and presence that is needing to express and flow through us, the most amazing things take place. It comes from the unity. It comes from the oneness. It comes from being willing to open our eyes. And as Ernest Holmes said, with regard to that 2 Corinthians 3:18, if you want to know. He says, as our thought is opened and we behold the image of eternity within ourselves, we are changed by this image into a newness of life. This is accompanied by the Spirit of God. We're changed. We're changed. We're not changed in terms of what is authentically the self. That doesn't change. But our perceptions change. We're no longer seeing through a glass darkly. We're no longer silently waiting for this divine inspiration to unfold through us. But the silent waiting, it's usually required. When Jesus taught us to pray, he said, go into the closet and shut the door. I learned a long time ago, this is the closet here in my heart. This is the door, my mouth. I need to stop talking long enough to listen. So I need the silence. And I want to go in with a great surrender, with a great sense of, I'm here. I'm listening. I'm here. I'm listening with the ear of my heart. I'm listening with the eye. I'm seeing with the eye of my heart. Show me. Show me the way. Show me the answers. Give me the inspiration. It's okay to ask. It's not that we're beseeching something outside of ourselves. It's perfectly fine to say, just show me. I'm open. Lead me. Lead on. Some of those old Christian hymns were pretty cool, huh? Lead on, O light. There's a light within us all that we get to see more clearly when we're so willing to listen and to see, because those of you who are Thomas Troward fans, and you all will be one day, I have no doubt, he speaks of the life that is in the mineral, the life that is in the plant, the life that is in the animal, the life that is in the human, and so forth and so on. There's this wonderful spiritual evolutionary process, and the life in the rock, well, it doesn't move around a lot. Well, except, have you been to Death Valley? Have you been to Death Valley? Have you been to the racetrack? There is what they call the racetrack in Death Valley, which is boulders, all different sizes, that have come down from the mountains. And they're there, and you can see in the sand a little tiny trail, because every few years they move a little. The wind blows them. It's a good wind in the Death Valley. Death Valley's an amazing place. There's the highest and the lowest. There's the darkest and the lightest. There's the finest and the coarsest. There's all kinds of contrasts. There's all kinds of contrasts in this life. Have you noticed? And we tend sometimes to get into the false belief that there's a duality. There's good and there's evil. No, there's one power. It's a power for good. It's greater than we are, and we can use it. And we use it all the time. Let's use it more for good. Because how things show up in the world depends on what our purpose is, what our intention is, what our agreement is. So there really isn't duality. There is polarity. We see this in electricity. We see it in people. There's supposed to be polarity. That's how things work here on the earth. In heaven, which is within us, and heaven is Uranos in Greek, which means altogether now that which is forever and ever expanding. When we come from the heaven point of view, we recognize our unity that is behind everything else that seems like separation. So we celebrate unity in multiplicity. We celebrate how life shows up individually, uniquely, which is why we say that there is cute shoes. We say that there is, I can't help it. That, you see, I just distract myself sometimes. It's really fun. Unity and multiplicity, the diversity that we celebrate, and we love that we have the ability to see through the appearance, the mirror that's showing us darkly, to the true, clear, beautiful picture. And so the life that awakens from the mineral to the plant to the animal to the human and beyond, it awakens so that we may mature spiritually. And have you noticed that our spiritual maturation tends to take place incrementally? Not too many of us sit underneath the Bodhi tree and we're suddenly completely enlightened. I'd love that. If you come into class one night and tell me, whoop, I got enlightened, here I am. That'll be great. We want to hear all about it. It could happen. But for most of us, it happens gradually. We grow into our authentic selves by continuing to open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds, open our consciousness. We gradually come to know that precious presence that's within and all around us, that we celebrate here every Sunday, every class night, every time that we gather together for anything, including infinite loops. You people are wild. Do you know that? Will you post that video on Zoho, please? It's amazing watching these people play ping pong. And they're dedicated to the teachings of Science of Mind while they're doing it and just having a blast. There's one of the members of this care group, and I'm going to out you right now. She plays with a three-legged stool. Huh. Are we going to put the video up? Okay, we're going to do it. We celebrate life. We celebrate the joy of God in all that we do, and that sometimes includes the tears. Underneath the tears, underneath the hard stuff, in the middle of the sadness, there's still maintains the joy of God. ready to be experienced by each of us. Let's invite it to come forth. Let's open our eyes to it. You can have a kerfunkel with your loved one and suddenly burst out laughing and it's all over, right? There's no more anything that except love and joy going on. Once you say something where your tongue gets twisted around your eye teeth and you can't see what you're saying and something really funny comes out, you both start laughing and life is good again. Because guess what? It always was. We were looking through the glass darkly. So as soon as I am able to open my eyes to that divine presence and that infinite power of good that's within me, that self-awareness is what I need to experience in order to help anybody else wake up. I cannot help you wake up if my own internal alarm hasn't gone off. And I do my work daily. I want to shine up and show up the best I can for everybody who is looking to be on this same spiritual path. They're not exactly the same. You know, we're all on our own spiritual paths, but we're close enough that we're able to love and support and fluff each other up on the way. Don't you love fluffing each other up on the way? It's really wonderful. So I want to become aware of my greater self. It's the first level of spiritual progress, and I'm able then to let go of the smallness of the only Maxine, of the finite mind, of the I'm only human, etc. When I let go of the smallness, I'm able to open my eyes to that spiritual magnificence. And when I see it within myself, guess who else I see it in? Everybody. All of you. It's a fun exercise to be on a train or to be walking down the street in Center City. I wouldn't go there today particularly. Well, you can. But to practice the presence by looking at the people in the eye that you're passing on the street or looking on the train and just getting really excited about seeing the presence of the divine within them. You don't have to say a word. Something wonderful just takes place. So that's what we're about. And it's a beautiful assignment. So then when I'm in that place and I'm clear about who I am, I'm then able to see your spiritual magnificence, and it's easy to see yours. It's sometimes a little harder other places, but Center City was fun yesterday. People were already going crazy. You know, at 2:30 in the afternoon, they were going crazy on the streets and hoo, 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 and getting everybody excited. There's something in the air. Why couldn't we feel that every day, whether our team was playing or not? Well, we can. We can. That doesn't mean we have to go and break any laws or even come close to it. But it's true that self-awareness is not enough. But this is where it has to begin, right? Has to begin. So let's be clear, shining mirrors for each other. Namaste, we say. The divinity within me beholds and celebrates the divinity within you. And that's a wonderful thing to do. So we shine up other, help other people shine their mirrors once we've taken that pumice and shined up our own. Let's just keep shining up our own, okay? Will you say with me, my eyes are open.
My eyes are open.
My mind is open.
My mind is open.
My heart is open.
My heart
to the spiritual magnificence within and all around me. To the spiritual magnificence within and all around me. And so, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community as together we create a world that works for all.